You know how we always talk about protecting our data? Well, get this. It's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what organizations really have to keep safe these days.
Yeah, it really is a much bigger problem than it seems like on the surface.
So today we're going to do a deep dive into how they secure all their valuable assets.
And we're talking way beyond files on a computer.
Right. We're looking at excerpts from 003 CRISPA main 2 section 3.pdf.
And honestly, it reads like a cybersecurity expert's handbook.
It really does.
Yeah.
And they're talking about securing everything from software and data centers
The facilities.
and even a company's reputation.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes sense when you think about it. A company's reputation, that brand trust they've built.
It's incredibly valuable.
But in today's digital world, one security breach that could destroy all that trust overnight.
It's like they say, it takes years to build and seconds to shatter.
That's exactly right.
So say a company's information is like this massive library.
Okay.
We're talking stacks on stacks of valuable stuff. Who are the librarians? Making sure it's all organized and, more importantly, protected.
That's where this whole concept of information asset ownership comes in.
Okay.
This document is very clear.
Okay.
Someone is always responsible for each asset security.
Okay, so it's not enough to just say someone is responsible. There's actual accountability built in.
Exactly. So even if tasks are delegated, the accountability for that asset, that remains. And here's where it gets even more interesting. This document uses this acronym, EOL, which stands for end of life,
Okay.
accountability for an asset. It lasts until its literal end of life.
Now that's got me curious. What does end of life even look like for something like, say, a company's secret formula or a database full of customer information?
Yeah, that's a great question.
But hold that thought, because before we even get to protecting all this stuff, how do companies even keep track of it all? It's like taking inventory in a library that never stops growing.
That's where a business impact analysis comes in. It's a process organizations use to identify their most critical functions and the assets, both physical and digital, that support them.
So it's like a company's version of a risk assessment, but it covers everything. Wait, did I read that right? Even things like customer loyalty.
You did. And that's what I find so intriguing. Remember how we talked about intangible assets?
Okay.
Things like brand reputation, customer trust. You can't lock those up in a safe.
You can't exactly slap a padlock on customer loyalty.
Yep.
So how do you even begin to measure the risk to something like that?
That's where qualitative metrics become really important.
Okay.
Think customer surveys, brand perception studies, even analyzing sentiment on social media. It all feeds into understanding the value of these less tangible assets and therefore the risks to them.
Okay, so we've taken stock.
Right.
We know who's guarding the metaphorical library, but how do you actually protect all this stuff? It's like having a VIP party. You don't want just anyone waltzing in.
Oh, I love that analogy.
Right.
And it's very fitting because that's where asset management comes in.
Okay.
Specifically, something called secure provisioning.
So is secure provisioning like the bouncer at the door of this VIP party, making sure only the people on the list get in? Oh,
Exactly.
okay.
It involves confirming identities, verifying authorizations, and granting access based on the principle of need to know.
Like how I have a different login for my work email than I do for, say, my online cat video subscription.
Exactly. And just like those different logins, they protect different types of information. Secure provisioning, it does the same thing, but on like an organizational level. It's all about making sure only the right people can access that sensitive information.
Okay, that makes sense. But how does a company actually decide who needs access to what? It can't be someone in IT just manually deciding for every single employee.
Especially not these days. With companies having thousands of employees, that's where things like job roles and security clearances become really important. This document really stresses that access should be need to know, not just because someone is curious or, wants to see what's behind door number three.
So someone in accounting probably shouldn't be able to see the same files as a software engineer, even if they work for the same company.
Exactly. And even within those departments, there will be different levels of access.
Oh, wow.
A senior accountant might need to see more sensitive financial data than someone who is just starting out.
This is all starting to make sense. It's like a whole system. But I imagine it's a moving target, right? New employees, people changing roles, data getting updated. How do companies keep up with all of that?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's why this document really emphasizes continuous management.
Okay.
It's not a set it and forget it situation. Access needs to be reviewed. It needs to be updated regularly, especially if someone changes roles or leaves the company.
So it's like a constant game of digital whack-a-mole. Just when you think you've secured everything, another potential vulnerability pops up?
In a way, yeah. But that's also what makes information security such a dynamic field. The threats change constantly, so security has to evolve right alongside them.
Right.
Which brings us back to something we haven't fully explored yet. How do you secure something as fluid and ever-changing as a company's reputation? You can't exactly put a password on public opinion.
Exactly. You can't put a firewall around a brand, which seems like it would be a crucial part of this whole asset protection thing.
Mm-hmm.
What does this document say about protecting those intangible assets?
It all comes down to trust.
Okay.
A company's reputation, it's built on the trust of its customers, its investors, and its employees. So protecting that reputation means building and constantly maintaining that trust.
Okay, so how do they do that? How do you translate that into, like, concrete action?
Transparency, communication, and swift action. Let's say there's a data breach.
Okay.
The company. They need to be upfront about what happened, what data was compromised, and what steps they are taking to fix the situation.
So the opposite of sweeping it under the rug and hoping no one notices?
Exactly. Trying to hide a security breach, that's only going to damage trust even more.
Right.
Like they say, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up.
That makes a lot of sense. It sounds like securing these intangible assets is almost like crisis communication. You need to be prepared for the worst and have a plan ready to address it head-on.
You've hit the nail on the head. That preparedness can be the difference between a minor blip for the company and a total PR disaster.
This is mind-blowing. We've gone from deciphering what assets even means in this context to the complexity of securing them, all the way to protecting something as intangible as a company's good name.
And that's exactly what's so crucial to understand. Information security, it's not just about firewalls and passwords. It's about understanding and mitigating risk across all facets of an organization.
It's like this deep dive has given us a new way to look at security altogether. It's not just digital. It's about protecting that entire ecosystem,
yeah.
The people, the processes, those relationships that data represents.
It really is about the big picture. And you know what it highlights? Hell, information security, it's not just an IT issue.
It's a business issue.
Exactly. It affects every single part of an organization and how it operates.
Like you said earlier, you can't put information security in a box.
Yeah.
It's about protecting data, sure,
yeah.
But it's also about protecting the people, the processes, those relationships that, you know, that data represents.
Exactly. And it's about understanding that a security breach, that doesn't exist in a vacuum. It can impact, well, everything, a company's bottom line, their relationships with customers, even their ability to, you know, function day to day.
And realistically, in our hyper-connected world, a security breach could happen to anyone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it all.
Mm.
Massive corporations, government agencies, nobody's immune.
You're absolutely right. And that's why it is so important for organizations to be proactive, to have a comprehensive approach to their information security. It's not a matter of if a breach will happen, it's when.
Okay, well, that's a little ominous,
mm-hmm.
but also kind of motivating, you know, like knowing what's at stake. It makes it crystal clear why investing in security is so important.
And it's not just about investing in the latest tech either. It's about, you know, it's about investing in people.
Yeah.
Training.
Like,
building awareness. Because the human element, it's often the weakest link in any security system.
That's a great point. You could have the fanciest, most expensive security software in the world, but if someone falls for a phishing email or leaves their laptop logged in at a coffee shop, game over.
Exactly. Information security. It's everyone's responsibility, from the CEO down to the interns, even, you know, temporary contractors. Everyone needs to understand the risks and how to help, you know, how to help mitigate them.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've gone from, like, figuring out what assets even means in this context to unpacking all the layers of protection involved, and then, you know, zooming out to the bigger picture of what's really at stake.
It's been quite a journey, and I hope it gets our listeners thinking about these things in their own work and their life, because information security, it's not just a topic for a podcast. It's an ongoing conversation we all need to be a part of.
So well said. And on that note, I think I'm going to go double check that I've got two-factor authentication set up on, well, everything.
That's always a good idea. And remember, even with all the right safeguards in place, information security, it's always evolving. It's a journey, not a destination.
Always learning, always adapting. Great advice for staying safe online and, honestly, for life in general. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. And until next time, stay curious.